As I've been able to smell the aroma of the bread this morning, it kept reminding me over and over and over again I didn't actually eat breakfast this morning. But now we have eaten the most fantastic feast, haven't we? I don't know about you, but I feel fully satisfied. And I trust that as we come round the communion table and as we look at God's word and we listen as to how he is impacting our lives, we will feel really, really satisfied. So this morning we're going to continue looking at our Live series, and we're looking in Matthew's Gospel at that wonderful passage that talks about us living worry-free. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life, or her life for that matter? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Not, I used to own one of those. It was given to me by somebody that used to come to church once a year in remembrance of their father. I had conducted a funeral, and every year on the anniversary, or around about the anniversary of his death, she would come to church. And one Sunday, quite inappropriately, I was leading an all-age service. And the idea was that I was going to jump onto the platform, or the stage, or whatever you call that bit, back in Tunbridge. And as I jumped on, our technicians would play that song. Only I jumped on, and they didn't. And so I had to start singing that song. And it was ghastly. It was really embarrassingly awful. But it made everybody laugh, including my friend Debbie. She was so amused that when it came to Christmas that year, I had a gift. And in the gift was one of these singing fish. It was designed to make me laugh. But do you know, that fish caused a whole load of worry. She told her mum that she'd got a gift to me that I would find funny, and her mum was a church member, and she was really worried as to what the gift was and how I would respond to whatever this gift might be. It caused me great worry because I thought, what if she asks me if I've put it up on the wall? I'd have to lie. And then when I left Tunbridge and I put it into a charity shop, I was really worried that her family might find out. It was something that had been given to me to make me laugh, to make me happy. It was something to take away kind of stresses and strain, and yet it did sometimes cause me to worry. And these words that we've read from Jesus today have been given to us to give us peace of mind, to give us courage when we're worried, to take away our stresses and strains. Do not be anxious. And yet I have come across so many people who have found those words hard and condemning and a challenge to them because they're not able to live out an anxious-free life. So this morning, as we look at these words, let's keep calm. Let's take a really deep breath and let some of Jesus's words feed us and fill us as we consider what they might mean. Anxiety is an emotional reaction. It's an emotional reaction towards actual or potential problems we might be facing and the fear that surrounds those. In his latest book, Max Lucado, I don't normally do a book promotion, but a friend of mine, Sarah, lent me this book for this morning. It's been really brilliant. Max Lucado, in his latest book called Anxious for Nothing, says the presence of anxiety is unavoidable. That means it's okay for us to sometimes become anxious. Anxiety is something that we might often feel. It's natural. But Jesus wants us to master how we cope when we get caught up in a life of perpetual anxiety. That's what Jesus is talking about. Not my Sunday morning grip of kind of when I think I've got to preach. That's natural. That's normal. But if I'm worrying about it 3 weeks before it happens, Jesus wants to speak into that kind of anxiety and take away that level of fear. Max Lucado says that when we live a life with Jesus, the prison of anxiety is optional. Doesn't say it's not there. He says it's optional. Now, you might be really fortunate. You might be somebody that doesn't worry a lot. You just don't do anxiety. But for many of us, anxiety is a very real and deep issue. Speak to anybody that suffers from severe phobias or, what have I got in my notes? Panic attacks. That kind of anxiety that becomes completely life-altering. Speak to anybody that suffers from severe anxiety and they will tell you it is deeply, deeply disturbing. In fact, it can be quite crippling to the way we live our lives. And as Christians, it can make us feel guilty, it can make us feel foolish, and it can make us feel as though somehow we are a second-class believer because we haven't managed to master this thing called anxiety and stress. I'm going to recommend, if you suffer from anxiety, you perhaps put this book on your Christmas list. Now, in the bit of the Bible that we've looked at today, Jesus focuses on food and clothing and our appearance. And he couldn't be more up to date because doesn't matter what you look at the moment, it seems that with dieting trends and kind of the fashion industry, we are constantly being encouraged to buy into being worried about the way we look. But it's not only those kind of stresses which keep us awake at night. Anything and everything can cause us the kind of anxiety that makes us wake up and then prevents us going back to sleep. If you're a teenager, I don't think any of us are, so we can have empathy with our teens, and some of us will find these stresses ourselves. But if you're a teenager, one of the top stresses is knowing how quickly to respond to a text and how to do it. If you're a teenager, one of your top stresses is using a public loo when there's somebody else around. And if you're a teenager, one of the greatest stresses you can face is having 1% battery left on your phone and no charger around. I debated this in the car the other day. It's not only teenagers that feel that way. And in a recent Daily Mail survey, this was based in London, 84% of Londoners worry about the well-being of their family. 82, the state of the National Health Service, and 74, the way the government is running this country. In that list, there was noise, crime, threat of terrorism, work-life balance, personal health and fitness, and commuting. All of these things cause people to lose sleep. One young adult describes his anxiety this way. It always hits me in the gut first. I often feel it first thing, my stomach twisted into a knot, my brain deciding it doesn't want to deal with the day before I even wake up. Sometimes my anxiety will fester around a particular thing, a cascade of worry about my work, my health, my social life, or often a simple decision I have to make. The worry becomes totally paralysing, with hours spent focusing on nothing else but this one issue. At other times, the anxiety hits for no reason at all, a desperate feeling of dread that I can't explain nor wash away, no matter how much I try. And for some of us, we know what that young man feels like because we experience it sometimes, or we know other people that do. And Jesus' response to worries like that is to remind us that God is in control. That's God's solution. That's what Jesus says we need to remember when we suffer extreme anxiety. Jesus says, it doesn't matter how anxious you are, find relief and release from your anxieties by learning how to trust in God's sovereignty. Back to front here. Let me just sort this out. Technology's great, but I'm failing today. I'm not trusting in anxiety. I'm trusting in God. Anxiety comes about when we feel out of control and when we perceive that our life is in complete and utter chaos. And even if we're responsible for some of the chaos that we're facing, if we sense that we're victims of some unseen or some turbulent or some random forces going on in the world, this will make us anxious. In World War II, some psychologists looked at both soldiers and those in the RAF, those who were fighter pilots, and they found this. After 50 days of continuous combat on the ground, troops became emotionally dead. The constant threat of bomb blitzes, machine guns and enemy snipers caused immense anxiety. Fighter pilots, on the other hand, responded completely differently, even though 50% of them were killed in combat, in action, which made their mortality rate one of the highest. Dogfighters loved the work they did. 93% of them claimed to be happy doing what they were doing, even though their own safety, their odds were the same as a flip of a coin. Psychologists concluded that anxiety levels in the two groups altered because fighter pilots had their hand on the throttle. Fighter pilots felt as though they were in control. They sat in the cockpit. Their fate was theirs to determine, whereas the soldiers didn't feel they had any control as to whether they might live or die. So the formula, psychologists said, is really simple. Perceived control creates calm, and lack of control gives birth to fear. And most of us know that to be true. When we're feeling anxious or stressed, we have our own coping mechanisms. Mine is to write copious lists of things to do. But you know, even control freaks don't get it right. In fact, some are the most stressed people we come across and not the most relaxed. Because the more they try and control the world around them, the more likely they are to fail. And so they get into a cycle. Anxiety, failure. Anxiety, failure. And so it goes round and round and round. And that might be the way some of us here are feeling today about our lives. And Jesus says to us, and particularly if this is you, do life differently. He says, don't try and take control. Because so often, the things we're trying to control are not ours to take control of. Now, he's not saying don't take any responsibility for your life. He's not saying don't take responsibility for your actions. He's not saying just leave everything up to chance and fate. But he is saying don't try and control the world, and don't try and control the world around you. I had in my notes, let it go, and you'll be really glad I am not going to burst into song. So I then changed it to let control go, just to remind me and to be a little bit of self-constraint there. Jesus says, let go of trying to be in the cockpit. He says, let go of having the throttle on life and give that, hand that over to God. In Psalm 103, the Bible says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. In other words, God is still on the throne. And Jesus asks us, if we're caught up in this perpetual life of anxiety, to stop, to keep calm, and remember that as truth. Learn to trust in God's sovereignty. That's a long word that means remember God is in control. He is still on that throne. Someone called Paul wrote to the early churches a number of letters, and in one of his letters, he talks about the importance of prayer when we're worried. And I don't know about you, but when I'm worried, I pour out all sorts of things. And another thing, God. And another thing, God. And don't forget, God. And Paul says, when we pray, let's start off with thanksgiving. Let's start off with rejoicing. Rejoicing, not in our troubles, but rejoicing in God, remembering who God is, remembering he is on the throne, remembering that he is in control. Paul had a really tough time in his life, including being in prison. But even in prison, he could praise God because he knew that God had got his future and his current day in his hands. And so he's able to describe God as being God who works in you to will and to do for his great pleasure. Paul knew that God was working above and beyond Paul's circumstances. It didn't matter how miserable and how difficult Paul's day was, God was on the throne and God was working his purposes out. Paul's understanding of God's sovereignty was the absolute bedrock of Paul's faith. And our challenge today is that true for us? Is God's sovereignty the bedrock of our faith, of our belief, of what gets us out of bed in the morning and into a new day? Do we know that God is working his purposes out, and do we believe that he is, irrespective of what we can see? Are we able to put ourselves under the shadow of his wings and trust that God is covering us despite the circumstances that we might find ourselves in? Can we believe in the steady hand of God and trust that he will be with us every single step of the way? You know, too often, instead of handing these things over to God and letting God take control, we say it in our head and we might even try and believe it in our heart, but in our actions, we take the control ourselves. We can numb it. We can numb our concerns and our anxieties, and whether that's alcohol or shopping or going to the internet for an hour or two to feed our fantasies, play games or whatever that might be. We can deny our anxieties by just pretending we don't do stress. We're very good at pretending it's not there. We can minimize it. Oh, it's not really a big thing. But inside, we are being eaten up by it all. Many of us will bury it under busyness so we don't have to face the kind of person we are. Let's keep busy, and then I can pretend I'm not anxious about any of this. Let's keep busy, and the anxiety will just be kept under the surface and under control. We can punish ourselves by adopting self-harming behaviours, cutting lists of things that we can do and must do, rituals and observances we've got to keep. I've got to pray more, I've got to study more, I've got to go to more activities, I've got to. And the rituals go on and on. These are coping mechanisms. These are our ways of trying to keep life under control. Sometimes we just avoid the word, it isn't in my vocabulary. And we just hope that by not talking about it, it will very naturally go away. Some of us will lash out at people. We use anger as a control mechanism, whether it's yelling at the driver in front of us, you got me there, or at our partner or at our kids. We might try and offset our anxieties by building the most perfect family, by having the most perfect job, by dressing or being the most perfect person we can possibly be, saying the perfect thing, keeping in perfect control. Jesus says, do it differently. Embody your anxieties. Own them. Embrace them head on by accepting what we've been singing about this morning, by accepting God's grace and his merciful love. Understand that we're not in control. We're not in charge. We can't possibly be. So hand that reins, those reins over to our Father and let him be in charge. When we're worried, I don't know about you, but I let these things go over and over and over in my mind. I go over the chaos in the wider world. I might go over the chaos in my own world. And Jesus says, hand those things to God. Let him be in sovereign control. He says, stabilize your soul. Stabilize your soul by believing that God reigns supreme over every detail of the universe. In picture language, he's saying, when you're worried, I'm going to use the car. This is me driving down the road. I won't literally do this, I promise. When you're driving down the road, step into the passenger seat and let Jesus be the driver of the car of your life. Instead of being anxious, we can release our worries to him. And then we have to wait. Then we have to wait. God created the whole world in 7 days. It might take him more than 5 minutes to restore order into the chaos of our lives. We have to wait and learn to wait well. Wait for him to reveal his divine power and his presence in our lives. He won't necessarily remove all of our problems, but what we can do is discover him in the very center of our circumstances. When we take Jesus at his word, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But it is a choice we have to make. A wise king called Solomon said, be careful how you think, because your thoughts rule your life. It's really easy to assume the worst in any situation that we're facing. It's really easy to beat ourselves up when we fail. It's really easy to overthink things. It's really easy to rehearse our regrets. It's really easy to complain, especially to people that like complaining themselves. You're definitely on the same page. It's very easy to feel sorry for ourselves. It's also very easy when we think that no problem is unsolvable when Jesus is in the center. Did you catch that? It's also really easy to believe that no problem is unsolvable when Jesus is in the center. It's so much easier than we think to believe that no life is irredeemable when Jesus is involved. It's so much easier than we think that no one's to discover that no one's fate is sealed when Jesus is at work. It's much easier than we think to experience God's love and to discover that no one, not even me, is unlovable in this world. Anxiety is about our feelings, but it is best faced with clear-headed thinking. Back to this Max Lucado book, which I've drawn on for this morning. He says you can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You occupy the control tower and you can direct the mental traffic of your world. And so we have choices as to what we think about when we're anxious, who we think about when we're anxious, and how we're going to approach these things that are crippling and life-altering to us. When we feel our most stressed and our most anxious, Jesus says, think about me. Think about him. Think about God, who is in control, the one who is on the throne. This is made easy when we're in community, when we're alongside others. It's made easier when we're part of a small group, when we're part of a church group, when we share our concerns and anxieties with those who will listen and who will understand and who will pray while we wait for God to step in. It happens when we serve others, when we actually just get stuck in and working alongside people that have needs. Some of our own anxieties and pressures and stresses will be pushed to one side. But there is nothing that beats spending time with God alone, one-to-one, with our Bibles, feasting on what God's promises and what his truth and what his words have got to say to us in our circumstances. And then perhaps filling up our spare time by reading some good books, by listening to some good podcasts, by feeding our souls with music that strengthen our souls. Dealing with anxiety doesn't just happen. It's a choice, but that choice is one that we can make. That choice is the one that is ours to control. Instead of being in the driving seat and trying to control our world and other people and make everything else right, Jesus says, step out of that seat. Be the passenger. Join your life with me. Lean on me. Believe my promises. And then discover how very much I'm in control. So as we close our time this evening, this morning even, I'd like to pray. I'd just like to pray for us, and then we're going to close with one of my favourite songs, hymns, that reminds us that we have a friend in Jesus. But let's pray together before we stand and sing. Jesus, you know the little things and the big things that cause us anxieties and stress. Lord, you know which of us here had a good night's sleep last night, and which of us tossed and turned because we couldn't get our worries out of our mind. Lord Jesus, you know what we did yesterday, whether we leant on you or whether we tried to find ways of avoiding the stresses and the anxieties of our lives. Lord, you know the people that we are supporting and the worries and the troubles that they also have. Lord, you call us to depend and rely on you, to hand the reins of our life over to you and let you set the pace. For ourselves, Lord, we release those things that cause us worry. By your Spirit, Lord, would you come and feed and fill our souls. Give us peace where there is panic. And Lord, for those that we are standing alongside, give us the courage and the conviction in our own hearts to hold hope for those we care about and we love. Lord, we don't want to be a people that deny anxiety or pretend that worry isn't a pressure. Instead, Lord, we want to be people that embody it, admit it, and find our strength and our healing and our way through life in you. So, Father, as we stand and we sing this closing song, would you be the most powerful friend that we could have in this room, in this moment, and in our coming days ahead. Amen.